Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Doodle. Hello, and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show, the only show
where we try to take two separate time signatures and try to make them slowly fit over time.
Well, Alistair, you're giving me way too much credit, I think, for whatever. If anything was happening slowly, it was all coming from your side, and it was
still us both coming together. You know, if you can just remain static for a second, I can try to correct this.
More accurately, what it would be is that I am a sort of I try and evade you with my time signature erratically while you chase me, forever trying to make the two synchronize.
You try to evade me while I stay still and hope that at some point you run right into my time signature, direct phase with me.
Well, if you wait long enough by the river, Alistair, mm-hmm. the bodies of your enemies will eventually begin to form some kind of a rhythm as they pass.
Sure.
And then you can use that as a beat, you know?
Oh, no, that's cool. See, if there's an alternate universe where those timelines converge, where we both, you know, do battle with people by rivers, we also have enemies who we would like to see die, sort of a time around that where that is kind of still acceptable, but also a time where you can have sort of a Zoom recorder, you know, digital audio equipment that works via batteries that you can take down by the river.
And then like Billie Eilish in Bad Guy listening to the pedestrian crossing signals in Sydney, you can hear the sound of your enemy's bodies slowly bumping up against sort of a pylon at the base of a bridge or something like that, and think, you know what? That slaps.
And that slaps.
You take that track back to your brother in wherever, and you got yourself a hit.
But I mean, okay. I think that's a good concept album. I know we're not trying to come up with five concept albums.
Yes.
But an album, you know, it could be a barbarian. It could be various people. This is all, you know, it's like five heroes and they each have a track and they're made up of the sounds of them conquering their enemies or their enemies being conquered by life. Mm-hmm. And them rejoicing while they cower away in a corner.
So they're heroes, or they're warriors of some kind.
Well,
but they're musicians.
But they're also cowards.
Mm.
But they win by living the longest.
But they're also not hugely creative in themselves, in that they just wait for the sounds to come to them, right?
But still, the raw materials come, but someone has to compose them into an organized sound.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
I guess they're more of an arranger.
I mean, I could absolutely play the role, I think, of the person in a creative partnership who just listens to the things, listens to the sounds, catches the sounds and goes like, oh, that's good. And then I pass it on to the arranger. I'm sort of more like a freelance ear, you know, roaming around, picking up on little things like, you know, the scratching of the bugs in the bark of the coolabah tree, what have you.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. And bringing no sense of organization or order to this entire.
But you could be the sound picker.
Yeah, I'd be the sound
telling someone where to point the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I'd be a sort of a hunter gatherer. You know, it is a hunter gatherer kind of approach to music, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, before you have the agriculture that is the modern acoustic industrial complex, mm-hmm, you have those who just go out and just listen to the sounds of nature and try and assemble whatever kind of music they can out of that.
Sure.
All right, Alistair. Sorry, I feel like you were saying you're on a better track with Warriors, and I.
Musical hunter gatherers is something, Andy.
You think it could be?
I think there's something there. Mm. You know, somebody. I mean, how would a person in the world? Mm. Well, I guess back in those days, you didn't record. Let's say, you know, we're thinking sort of pre-agriculture, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the music hunter-gathering could have continued on after agriculture had come.
Yes, it could still be going to this day in some culture.
I mean, I guess in some form, yeah. But I guess in those days, instead of getting an audio recorder or even a ceramic pot that you could scratch while the sound was happening, you know, you might, if you
that
saw...
trope. I think we referred to that in the podcast before, haven't we? It was also in an episode of The X-Files.
Yeah, I think there's a few references to it in different... Mm. I think I saw an episode of NCIS or something like that where there's something like that as well.
Love
somebody
it.
Somebody screams or... Was your episode where somebody screams their own name while they... Or the murderer screams their own name while they kill somebody? Brian Johnson.
he would have been a great murderer. Well, he would have been absolutely up there with some of the best murderers if he didn't have the fatal flaw of always screaming his name in the moment of homicide.
Screaming out his name, the act, the victim,
the date.
The date. And then the words, remember those details. And then repeat them.
Yes.
In case you didn't get that.
I've prepared printouts. You know, every criminal makes a mistake. And this was his. It was only one mistake, but it was a big one. And he did repeat it.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, it could be, this could be a new concept in crime TV. And it would be the gimme homicides. Right, and it's a series about Reginald Gimme, who's a detective, a hard bitten detective, hard drinking, lost everything. He's, you know, his wife, etc. And every crime he investigates, so every macabre crime, only the darkest of crimes interest him. But then they all turn out to be solved very, very quickly and easily at the start of the episode. And then we've got, I don't know, 45 minutes to fill or something, which is just...
Well, we see what else this idiot gets up to in his life. You know, there are some crimes so difficult to solve. There's only one person who can solve them.
Mm.
But there are some crimes... That's not this man, no. But there are some crimes that look like they're going to be so easy to solve that there's only one detective that we can bother wasting on it.
There's only one detective who could possibly drag that out to a TV hour.
Yeah.
That is Reginald Gimme.
General, you see the chief of police. Well, that's a gimme. Gimme! We got a case for you.
He's got this. You know how all the other detectives have got their web on the wall of all the you know pieces of paper and clues all connected with red string. And this is only he's only got one piece of string, and it goes horizontally from a picture of the corpse to a picture of the murderer. And he still stares at it for hours.
And then he takes the string off. He puts it off just in the empty space of the wall. And then he puts it back.
Yeah. Or he loses it for a while.
He can't find the string.
Yeah. He spends 45 minutes of the episode looking for his ball of string, which is misplaced. I like it, Alistair. The gimme slayings. No.
What did you call them? The gimme murders.
Gimme homicides?
The gimme homicides.
And then you know, if you released a DVD box set, you could call it the absolute gimme. Or, you know, I like to name the box sets almost.
Well, I think that's often the starting point with a lot of career, especially now that there's no box sets.
Well, it feels like a real gimme approach.
Yeah.
Okay, Al. Now we're cooking.
Now we're cooking. So I said
now that we're cooking with dicks.
This episode of 235, I decided that we're going to try and do many more suggestions from listeners.
Mm.
And so I thought a good place to start would
be... You know what? It's amazing to me that hunter-gatherers didn't get more done, didn't achieve... more, you know, great intellectual feats because I listen to the sounds of a forest to help me concentrate and study and that sort of thing. So you would have thought they would get a lot more writing done.
Yeah, well, there wasn't writing, I guess. There's not writing. But then that's the thing is that when you live in an oral tradition, in the time of the oral tradition, when you're passing stories down, there's just only so many stories you can carry around in your head.
Yeah, you know? You're right.
And you may have figured out some great thing about, you know, like maybe you figured out atomic theory really early on, right? Mm. Something that's pretty useful. Something's pretty useful. It helps you, it allows you to like understand maybe how heat works and understand static if ever you came across that instead of nature.
Mm. You know? Yep, really useful.
Well, you know, I mean, once these are the building blocks, you know, for to get to advancing. Anyway, I'm just saying, but because it's not immediately useful, it's just a stepping stone. You don't bother putting a story around it, right? Things are really small. Why don't you come around to my house like that? You know, this kind of rhymes, I imagine, really helped.
Like that example.
Like that very example. You know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Newton's Principia, right? A great achievement, sure, but he didn't have to make it rhyme so people would remember.
Didn't have to make it rhyme.
You know, eventually if you're a slave to the rhyme like I am, then eventually you'll start manipulating the physical laws to make the rhyme work.
That's right.
And then, that's sort of the original digitization signal loss.
Yeah.
You know, you lose a certain amount of accuracy as people in the rhyme scheme.
I mean, I think that this is a fun sketch where it's Newton.
Yeah.
And he's in a meeting with his publisher. And it's the only publisher in town, and the thing is that they do rhyming books.
Yeah.
And so they're working through with it. They're working through Principia, whatever, through with him.
Yeah.
And they're like, this doesn't work, you know, falling down. That doesn't work. That, you know, could you say, you know, falling down? Could you say the line above, could it be instead of... acceleration due to gravity when it's falling down. Could it be acceleration due to Brown when it's falling down? And he's like, oh, but it's It's actually not Judah Brown. They're like, well, how bad do you want this to be published?
Like, we want some, we kind of want some mathematical theories you can hum, you know?
Yeah. It's like, do you want people to remember
this? Like a real
this?
Earworm.
Because, you know, there's no point having a theory if no one's going to remember it. You know, no one's going to be, if it's not going to be useful to anybody, it's just going to, you know, float off into obscurity.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, write it down, Al.
All right.
Well, or should that be write it brown?
Write it brown.
all right. So you might not have got that impression from the episode thus far, but this episode is an episode where we exclusively use the three word suggestions.
Yeah, three from Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
Right. And so, as you can tell, this is what we've been doing so far. So that's what we're going to continue to do.
Mm.
And so the next listeners who have sent in suggestions is Fraser Wright and Karina. Thank you, Fraser Wright and Karina. A team. It's one of the few teams that we've had sending in things. We've had some teams. God, you know, I'm not gonna try to go through team erasure here and try to pretend like we haven't had teams. We've had a whole podcast network sending in suggestions.
That's true, Alistair. An entire network.
Yeah. So that's a team.
Mm.
Anyway, Fraser Wright and Karina have sent in the three words reverse biology career.
Oh, reverse biology career.
Mm.
I mean, this feels very rich with possibility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me think immediately of Darwin, Charles Darwin, a friend of the show, who supposedly on his deathbed had a last minute conversion to Catholicism or something, and you know, like to Christianity. There's like rumors put around that he disavowed all his works and said, promised his soul to Jesus or something like that. I would like to start setting around some of the reverse of that, which is that a lot of Christians on their deathbed actually see the logic of an entirely sort of just rules-based, physical laws-based understanding of physics and nature.
If you're going to do one, it's definitely like right at the end, just go, anyway, sorry, and I love you, God, right? That's what you're going to do on your deathbed, just in case. But the idea that someone has like been the Pope their whole life.
Yeah, their whole life.
Their whole life, baby Pope. I'm talking fetal Pope, baby Pope. Yeah. They even have the hat just resting on the mama's belly.
Well, I think young Pope really missed an opportunity to make him not an infant, to make him an infant.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And so then you got baby Pope, and you got. I'm starting to have a weird flashback that there's maybe a Adult Swim TV show that's that.
Oh, cool.
I'm not sure.
Mm. Has Eddie Murphy ever made a movie where he's the Pope?
Oh, not yet.
He's got to do that.
There's that.
You know, like, I don't know how if we set this up, but like if we can have a real cool black Pope, I think let's get in touch with the.
Yeah, there's that, I think maybe Kenyan Archbishop who, you know, who always looks like he's close to being Pope, you know?
Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Is it Desmond?
Yeah, could maybe. Be.
No, there's another one. I think another one who was like recently, no, not Desmond Tutu. There's another one who recently like wrote a thing that the second Pope put his name to that was like a more conservative thing that caused a bit of a two-pope problem, and then the Palpatine Pope kind of took his name off of it because he realized it was causing a problem. But anyway,
Palpatine.
So how do we make this? So Pope all his life, and then right on his deathbed, he goes, I disavow everything. This, I mean, it's not 100% yeah, there yet.
Doesn't seem interesting enough, right? I mean, what could convince him? Maybe he looks across and he has like one of those Newton's cradle things on his desk.
Yeah,
he's going like that, right? And he looks at it and he's like, "I've just realised this can all be explained by three fundamental laws of motion," and then he gets on a roll, right? And he looks out the window and he sees a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah.
And some beaks, birds fly by with different length beaks.
And he sees them dipping into, you know, it's like a, I don't know, like a, you know, huge, a fly.
Yeah.
He sees an orchid with the longest tube of flower tube.
Do you think that's why there are no trees in the Vatican? Like, it seems like it's a very urbanized environment. I reckon they keep the Pope a long way away from rainforests. Like, for you me. Never see the Pope in a sort of a very biodiverse area.
So you never see the Pope deep in nature, you know, like no. Real deep. Like, I'd like to see an episode of Bear Grylls with the Pope.
Yeah.
Why okay. why has he resisted? You know? I mean, they keep nature away from him so he doesn't accidentally make any observations, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's cloistered.
All right. Look, do you think we should do this? He's cloistered.
Yeah. Cloistered.
Oh, scientific.
Yeah, you know, keeping the truth observations. From the Pope. Yeah, and, you know, because, you know, they're perceptive guys. I'm sure they're very smart. If they had any evidence at all in front of them, I'm sure they'd join the dots.
Yeah.
But you got to keep them separated, you know?
Yeah.
That's about the Pope and nature.
God bless you, Andy.
Yeah. That's a biology, that's a reverse biology career.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And well, I also then, think, though, I don't know if you want to write it down, but Eddie Murphy is the Pope.
Yeah.
That's a
I mean, it's more of a casting suggestion than it is a whole sketch.
Yeah, you're right. All right, I'll keep thinking about it.
I mean, you know, the idea that he observes some, he's in this hospice, right? And he's dying. He starts making these observations.
He starts making these observations. Sort of a trading places type thing. All right. You know, but the Dan Aykroyd and or you know whatever the characters are who decide they're cardinals. And they decide that they'll make Eddie Murphy the Pope for some reason. Anyway, you were talking about something else.
Wait. Oh, no, it's gone.
Deathbed conversions.
Oh, that's right. No, part of the deathbed conversion is that he starts, you know, it starts with just maybe seeing that. What was that Newton's thing? Newton's cradle? You know? Yeah. And then he...
Yeah.
And then he, you know, he makes those biological, evolutionary kind of
deductions,
observation deductions. And then maybe he catches a pigeon and dissects it. You know, on his bed, just while nobody's there, maybe he uses like a bit of metal from his scepter.
Yeah.
Got a scepter next to his bed.
Right, he's probably got some sharp bit on his hat.
And he realizes it's actually not that, what's inside this pigeon isn't that dissimilar from what's wrong with him. Like he kind of sees, you know, and then he figures out a way to cure himself. Maybe he operates on himself.
Yeah. Wow. Because he's got that far now down the track of.
So he has medicine. A deathbed conversion that it turns into, well, his life bed that he lives
that's
in.
The real conversion.
Still, as he's renouncing Christianity, he's still converting things.
Hmm. He converts his death into a life.
Or his bed.
Not bed. His bed. That
hospice people try to get him to move out, but he refuses. And then he takes up that bed.
So they have to kill him with a hammer.
That's nice. That's actually what my... that's the kind of story that I'm working on for Sci-Fi Try Guys.
Oh, really?
Is the God Hammer story.
Oh, the God Hammer story. Damn, I'm excited for that, Al. Real excitement.
Oh, we'll see, we'll see. Yeah, right. Look, that's there. Thank you very much to the Wrights.
I feel for some reason like we came up with a different sketch about people having to kill the Pope a long time ago.
And but, we always, I mean, it's almost the main thing that we do is come up with sketches for people killing the Pope. We have a sketch idea here, Andy, from Patreon supporter Lee Warren.
Lee. Thanks, Lee. I was thinking about the name Warren the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what I was thinking about it, but I was thinking it's a good name.
You know what? Who I think really improves the name Warren is Warren Beatty.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know anything about Warren Beatty. I like looking at him now.
Oh, I've got to look him up. Is he still around?
Oh, yeah. I think who's that Australian? Who's that Australian actor who had a Tonight Show in the States?
Australian actor who had a Tonight Show.
No, Australian stand-up.
Oh, Jimmy something?
No,
they're all called Jimmy, aren't they? Jim Jefferies.
Oh, Jim Jefferies, that's right. Oh, yeah, you're right. No, it was Jimmy. That is a Jimmy.
There's crazy. A Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
A Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Jim Jefferies.
Yeah. It's just a very successful name. But he had a story about doing a set at that billionaire's house, that Australian billionaire Packer. God. And
right. So many Australians in this show.
Yeah, and he was talking about how this is when, anyway, he got invited there by Packer's wife, and Packer wasn't interested in it, in having this comedy show, and he doesn't know why he was invited until, like, it was only supposed to be a 15-minute set. Anyway, 10 minutes into the set, the guy recognized the comedian and he goes, "Oh, it's this bit that I wanted, that I like you for. You did that gun rights bit." Anyway, so then he had to do another like 15 minutes to do that bit. Anyway,
yeah.
At some point, he has this later on, he's just mingling with people and he talks about talking with Warren Beatty and just randomly. And Warren Beatty's like, "Oh, you got any film ideas?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he makes some bullshit up and he's like, "Yeah, you should contact me about that." And he goes, "Oh, that was a joke." And he's like, Warren Beatty was really disappointed. Anyway. And for some reason that made me really like Warren Beatty, that he's just so open to like collaborating with people that he's just met based off of a pitch that the guy just made up on the spot.
Well, I like his lack of discernment. He seems to have almost no judgment whatsoever.
He's a guy who spent his whole life like as in a career in Hollywood. And you can make up something on the spot and you'll be like, "Yeah, let's talk more about this."
He can't tell what's a film. Look up old Warren Beatty. He looks a lot like a rugby player from Queensland, I reckon. He's got that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't believe he's still alive.
Yeah.
Never seen a single film that he's in. Anyway, that's Warren Beatty. That's the Warren Beatty section of the show.
I like to think that you have seen a film that he's been in. I reckon.
Oh, here we go, Al. You just...
Did you ever see Dick Tracy?
No.
You never saw Dick Tracy?
No, I never saw Dick Tracy.
Let's see. What about the Dick Tracy TV movie special? Have you watched all of Larry Sanders' show?
No.
No? Have you seen some of Larry Sanders' show?
Yeah, I've seen like 2 episodes.
Oh, I think he was in one of those.
Oh, okay. One of the two.
Hey, one of the two.
I'm going to pitch some ideas to Warren. I'm going to send him a couple of emails.
Yeah, great. All right. What were we talking about? We're trying to get a story from Lee Warren. Another, you know, if we wanted another story based off of this guy's name, Lee, remember? Jack Black's band had that song that goes, "Lee, Lee, 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 motherfucking Lee."
No.
"I have a friend, his name was Lee. He put a spell on me. Lee, 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 Lee."
I don't think I've heard that song, but I dare say you think I have seen that song.
Yeah, I think that you have seen that song. All right, Lee Warren has 3 words that he suggested for a sketch. and it's called, and here they are. Do you want to try and guess what one of them is?
Yeah, yeah. Cromulent.
I think that you've guessed that before.
Oh.
But that's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, that's fine. No, I mean,
there's no reason not to guess it again. The odds haven't changed of that being the word.
I know. And that's a good. And the thing is that the more you say it, the more likely people are to suggest it.
I think so. Cromulent.
And
especially given that they're probably trying to mess with me and they don't want me to guess it right.
They're going to wait for the one day.
Of course they're going to use a word that I've already guessed, thinking I won't guess that again.
That's right.
I'm going to guess, you know, it's like playing the lottery. You play the same numbers every single week. I'm going to keep guessing the same words over and over and over again until eventually I'm right.
I like how much of a tactician guesser you are.
All right.
I mean, I gotta say, there's something about somebody who's a strategic guesser. You know, that you get in to your company. You know, and it's like, look, we've discovered that corporate spying is actually quite illegal, right?
Mm, yeah.
But we have got this strategic guesser who can come in and tell us what he thinks the opposition might be doing.
Yeah. I mean, I reckon that's probably 90% of all consultancy. But also, I think that's great. Like, you know, there's a few ways that could play out. Like, instead of doing modeling, like, it's really expensive to do modeling to try and predict what's going to happen. But, yeah. We could get the world's best guesser.
He's got a good strike rate. Give me a jar of jelly beans, and then they get him in, and he he's in the boardroom, and they get him in, and he, I don't know, they just go, look at this, and they get a jar of jelly beans out, and he goes, 105. They go, 107, pretty close. And then everybody in the boardroom claps.
Yeah, is he estimating, though, or is he just guessing?
He's guessing. That was just a guess.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to sort of play him off against an estimator.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that could be his rival.
Yeah.
Then they have a baby together.
Yeah. Because obviously, the guesstimator.
It becomes the guesstimator.
Yeah. And that part's played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yes. And Danny DeVito, both in a coat. I mean, they've played, you know, they've played brothers, but have they ever played one man?
Yeah, that's good.
Not yet. And, you know, they're starting to get too old to do this. So you gotta do it soon. We gotta get him.
Losing it, Al.
No, we gotta get him to sign this. Sign on the sign, somebody, you fucking idiots.
Somebody contact Warren sign. Beatty.
Warren Beatty, I got an idea for you. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, yeah, they've played alongside each other, but have they played on top of each other?
And, yeah, Warren, I know there's not a part for you in this movie, but I need your enthusiasm.
Can I have your email? And I know what you're thinking, but no. It's going to be Schwarzenegger on top of DeVito.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I mean, I don't know if there is a scene. I haven't seen the movie Twins. And I know you think I have, Alistair, but I haven't. But if they didn't put in a scene in which they've got to hide on each other's shoulders in a long coat and in which... Oh, but that's just the scene from Austin Powers, isn't it? Where Austin goes on Mini V's shoulders. Ah, oh, damn it.
Wait, what does he do in that?
He goes on Mini V's shoulders. They dress up in a nurse or something.
Oh yeah. Oh, I see, that's funny. Oh,
that's funny.
See, but that you see, Danny DeVito is the Danny DeVito is the real life Mini Me.
Mm.
All right, Lee Warren's words. And in a way, his words are not that far from a strategic guesser. Mm. These are his words. Inspiring mathematician clown.
Inspiring mathematician clown. Gosh.
I mean, if you just take those words at face value, and it's a guy who goes to schools dressed as a clown and does maths, but in a sort of life-affirming way.
Mm.
That's already something interesting, but I don't think that's what we do here.
Yeah, okay, good. What do we do?
I think we...
Well, I mean, I suppose you could make numbers out of balloons. Instead of animals.
Mm.
I mean, you know, and I guess it would be good if you could do it in such a way that, you know, you make a one and you make a, or you make a three and you make a seven, right? And then you cram them all together and scramble them around, and then out of that you get a 10, you know. That'd be a good use of your skills.
You could also have a guy who goes to kids' parties, but he's making the balloons into numbers for the parents, right?
Yes.
And he uses those numbers to do some mathematical modeling to how they could maybe rearrange their finances and afford to buy a house, or maybe how they could turn their life around.
It's interesting that the balloon, I'd never thought about it before, but the balloon animal is just a form of modeling, isn't it? It's just a type of sculpture, you know, that you're doing an approximation of things. It's equivalent to using a pencil to make markings on a piece of paper. Like, there's no reason you couldn't and I realize we've already talked at the start about the music and the hunter-gatherer, that kind of thing, but there's no reason that society couldn't have gone down a different path in which balloon animals were the only form
of writing
and indeed of making any kind of indelible mark on anything at all. So, you know, stone tablets or whatever, you know, doing architectural drawings or what have you, this would all be done by professional clowns. And
of course,
for some reason, you know, people who have these jobs, they still put on the clown makeup and that sort of thing, but it's in a much more kind of a muted sense, as you would expect from somebody working in a professional field like architecture. But they still do have a little sort of red nose, and they still put on sort of that slap, you know, paste makeup. And they have a little orange wig, but, you know, like a business version of that.
Yeah.
The business clown.
But kind of more prehistoric. Like, I'm picturing sort of an archaeologist digging up, a series of balloons sort of somewhere at an archaeological site. And they're just shriveled up little balloons, but they reconstruct them. They see where the knots are.
Yeah.
You know, and they figure out that this is actually telling a story, or telling, you know, it's these are the plans for a great citadel.
Yeah, be the hieroglyphics or what have you.
And then they, you know, and obviously then they, as they tell the story that they're discovering from these sort of discarded balloons with the little plastic, you know, ribbon that's attached to them that would have gone around the wrist maybe of the balloon or some slave children that would stand there. I mean, as far as slave children go, having a job where you stand there and just hold up a helium balloon, it's pretty good.
It's one of the better gigs on the ancient Egyptian clown pharaoh building site. Down at an English pharaoh. One evening I was there, oh.
I was eating. It was really good.
Yeah, and so on. So, you know, I mean, I think some sort of... But, I mean, does this continue to the current day? Are we still using that in the current day, the balloon
thing? Of course, yeah.
Thing?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah. And, like, what you, so you're picturing, like, a after the architect has used his sort of his drafting clown to draft up the plans of, you know, the latest sky-high sort of, you know, skyscraper. Then he sends the clown to the building site.
Yeah.
And the building site's there, and the sort of I guess the builder's now looking at them and sort of trying to organize his workers based off of that. And
correct.
I guess there'd be different, there'd be a clowns in different corners, and they'd have them there for the big concrete pour. And
yeah.
Just double checking everything.
Oh, occasionally, all the numbers.
Occasionally stepping on the clown's foot and going, you know, I'm trying Alistair, to get it.
You get it completely.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, can I say thank you so much to Mr. Lee Warren?
Thank you, Lee,
for getting us there. While we're here, Andy, while I'm looking at suggestions from a listener, I was thinking that maybe I might get another one.
Yeah, great. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah?
You know, I have something to say, or do you have something to say? Because I also have something to say.
Well, you know, I'd love to hear it.
All I wanted to say was that I think Desmond Tutu
has
the highest ratio of boredom to fun from his first to last names.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Desmond is a very fun
Desmond
name.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Desmond Llewellyn played, of course, I think he was Q in the original Bond films. There you go.
You're kidding. Wasn't he the one who went for quite a long time as Q?
Went for a real long time. He was through to Pierce at least.
I reckon he might have even done some of this other guy. Maybe not.
Craig?
Yeah, might have done some Craig.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I think there was some interim John Cleese.
You're the guy who's seen a lot of films. So.
No, Alistair, I haven't.
Well, that takes us to our next listener, Andy. Sebastian.
Thank God.
Weibach.
Mm.
Hello, Sebastian. Thank you for having us on your podcast, Sebastian.
Thank you, Sebastian.
How do I rob this?
Yes, we may that have was mentioned a real fun time.
Yeah, we mentioned ages ago that we were on there, but feel free to go back and check that out once again. It was a very fun time. We may have stolen something from the Australian Parliament.
Mm.
So, Andy, do you want to guess what one of the words in this is?
Cromulent.
I'm sorry, no. It's a neoliberal, glory, and hole.
Neoliberal glory hole.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem with the glory hole system, right? Is that it relies on the person on the other side of the glory hole doing all the work for potentially, you know, minimal reward, right? I think
as in because there could be nothing on the other side of the wall, or
look, I'm not sure, but I'm assuming that in the glory hole system, one person is having a better time than the other person. Do you think, or maybe not? Maybe for it to work, both people on either side have to get as much out of, you know, have to be getting equal amounts out. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I think I think we could. I could go into the top and bottom system for you, and explain how there's something in it for everybody. But
yeah, okay.
I mean, look. Andy, I think both people are definitely feeling something.
Oh no, that's certainly true.
And I think that one person is probably gonna enjoy themselves more than the other person.
Mm.
But we don't. I can't even tell you for sure who that's going to be.
Have we talked about then?
I mean, who knows
that about how the real, like the real glory? Have we talked about glory holes before on the show? We said that the real glory is the glory of sharing, you know, and selflessness.
That's right.
And the fact that you know you're willing to do something for your fellow human being.
Exactly. And that they're willing to do something for you.
Mm.
Two people. And it's like, and it's in these times, especially in troubled times, such as these might be, right?
Yes.
That people just helping strangers, you know, when they need it. And it's exactly that.
But the neoliberals,
it's the only reason that I leave the house.
But I think the neoliberals wouldn't have any time for that. Right, they, you know, under neoliberalism, I think glory holes would have to be, well, they'd probably be privatized, you know, and
they wouldn't be allowed in public bathrooms.
No, exactly. Or if they were, the maintenance and the servicing on the glory hole would be sold to a third party, you know, probably one of their coalition mates in some tidy little deal, and they would then, you know, and all glory holes would be on a sort of a would have a little thing put in there where you've got to pay to use it or something like that. And one of the last great, truly public institutions would be eroded.
You know what would be the worst part?
In the name of senseless consumerism. And what does the consumer actually get out of it? What's the benefit? You know, it used to be that this was just a public service that we could all enjoy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that we would we would carve them out of the materials, you know, and make the hole. But now the whole hole has a door, a window that closes, or a little door that closes automatically.
Yeah.
You
know,
and opens. Jeez. You got to put in coins or whatever like that. And it's like those automatic bathrooms that if you're not done in 10 minutes, then the door just opens or closes in this case.
In this case, it just closes. And then it hoses itself down.
It sort of sanitizes itself. Mm-hmm. I guess just like a hand sanitizer built within the wall just kind of oozes over it on either side. And then once it evaporates, then it unlocks the cubicles again.
So I suppose this is sort of like the Uber of glory holes or something like that then. You know, it's like those e-bikes or whatever that's in the town.
Well, that's, you know, that's something else, because then it feels like that's just... Because the e-bikes is different to the Uber. Because I guess the Uber scenario is like anybody who has a wall with a hole in it, then they can say, well, come to my house and you can use that hole, which I guess we can already do.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose so.
Mm. I mean, I actually know somebody who was kind of doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
But not in our circle, you know? You know how I have other circles occasionally.
Yeah. You're circles. Many, many circled man. You got the bloody Olympic rings over there, mate.
Yeah, mate, but they're all glory holes.
Hmm. I think we got something with that.
I mean, I think we basically. I mean, you know how I said what we don't do is just read the words and then come up with a sketch based on the literal translation of the words. Well, that's what we just did. So Sebastian is actually changing how we do things.
I mean, sometimes we do that occasionally, but yeah, you're right. You're right. It was a very strong suggestion. You know, I feel like he came to it already with a bit of an idea of what that might be, and I hope we gave him what he wanted.
You know,
because that's what this is all about.
Yeah,
delivering on expectations.
That's right. What do you say we just do one more? Look, we actually have more than five sketches now, so I think now it's time to do a suggestion from a listener.
Oh, that would be great. That's what we normally do at this time of the show. So, I'd love to hear.
Now, for those who don't know, we have a Patreon to Intank Patreon, and people who donate $3 can suggest three words for a sketch. So today's listener is, I believe it might be Poo Poo Bum Bum Man.
Oh, Poo Poo Bum Bum Man.
Yeah. And so
wow.
I believe this might be Poo Poo Bum Bum Man's second set of words.
Is are you sure that's not pronounced Poo Poo Boo Bum Man?
Well, it would be, I think it might be Poo Bum Bum Man. Oh, but I don't know if it's Poo Poo Bum Bum.
Bum Bum Man?
Poo Poo Bum Bum Man. Yeah, it could be that. But then bum is already, I mean, it could be Bam Bam.
It's true.
Boom,
there was
boom,
a there was a recent episode of Teleport on the sci-fi on the Patreon bonus episodes, Alistair.
Yeah.
Which I listened to recently because it was recommended to me by one of our listeners, Brian. I re-listened to it, and there's a bit in it in which you start referring to Spider-Man as Spider-Man,
yeah.
And it went on for quite a while, and it really got me. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Well, I'm glad something works.
Yep.
Great. Well, Poopoo Bum Bum Man has sent in the words. Do you want to guess what one of the words is?
Yeah, cromulent.
What was that?
Cromulent.
Cromulent? No, that's not one of the words. One is, they're actually, one's IGDAF.
IDGAF.
IGDAF.
IG or ID?
No, IGDAF.
Right, because the internet slang is I don't give a fuck, IDGAF, right? But this is I give don't a fuck?
Well, look, I could have written it down wrong.
No, I know.
I give don't a fuck. All right, so that's that.
Okay.
then there's CSIRO.
Mm.
Ah. See, and then you know what? Poo Poo Bum Bum Man might not be wanting to give away that much about their identity with that name, or that is exactly their name and they're giving away everything about their identity.
Sure.
But by saying CSIRO, I feel like they're giving away their location. Their location.
Yeah. This is the Commonwealth Science and Industrial Research Organization, Australia's, mm-hmm. Lead governmental scientific body.
Yeah.
Where my grandfather worked for 40 years in Tasmania.
Would you say he was an echidna slaughterer?
No. Absolutely not. In fact, even catching echidnas wasn't even his main game, Alistair. He was out there looking at soils, mapping the soil of the great state of Tasmania, and it was his colleague who worked in, I assume, wholesale echidna slaughter, who told him, if you ever see an echidna, can you grab it for me, and gave him the secret, this one simple hack, one weird trick of catching echidnas, which is that you tap them on one side with your foot, and they poke their feet out the other side to balance themselves, and then you grab their feet. And I mean, it's a good trick.
It's a great trick that now people who listen to this podcast can go out and slaughter their own echidnas.
That's true.
I like that, Andy. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it.
Poo Poo Bum Bum Man is really getting their money's worth out of this by the use of the acronym. Something of an acronym for maniac themselves, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say that. Those are the words I would use. It's actually one word.
They're getting a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm. And then the last word is BYOB.
Mm. So I'm going to go, I don't give a fuck, CSIRO, BYOB.
I give don't a fuck.
Bring your own B.
Bring your own beer.
And I mean, I think a CSIRO, it seems, okay, this is what it seems like to me, Alistair.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this rings true to you. But it seems like there's a government research organization, sort of like the CSIRO, whose main remit is instead of, because the CSIRO, it seems very, it's very pushy, isn't it? You know, it's science, it's industry, it's research, it's organization, right? But what, where's the, where are the groundbreaking discoveries coming in the field of just chilling out, man?
It's
and
true.
Just taking a load off and having bevvies with the boys.
That's right.
You know, who's making the breakthroughs in that field of endeavor?
Because it almost can't be an academic, because academia is such a high pressure scenario now that you actually, you aren't in a mental space to be able to really research chilling out.
You know, it was, I believe it was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air who said that he was chilling out Max, but are we sure he was chilling out Max?
Wait, was he chilling out Max?
Am I wrong? Was he not chilling out Max?
I thought he was chilling out maxing, relaxing.
Oh, I always thought it was chilling out Max and relaxing real cool. But what then? What's maxing?
What's maxing?
Chilling out maxing.
You know, it will. You're lucky that I'm pretty close to the genius lyric thing that. I think I might be able to get
you think that this
right
is the sort
here.
Of thing
so,
that's been recorded on the internet? Are other people familiar
well,
with the show?
Okay,
Fresh
so according to Genius, it's a heavy debated line. It was long thought to be Maxin, not Max and, but public opinion is shifting. The argument for Maxin is Maxin and Relaxin.
I didn't realize that I had hit on such a, you know, a zeitgeisty thing where there's a lot of critical thought is shifting. Well, in this area.
Yeah, maxin' and relaxin' was a common expression in the 80s. The argument for max and is to the max was also a common expression in the 80s. Will purportedly says max and relax in episodes of the show. So the DVD subtitles purportedly spell it in this way. This annotation is currently a work in progress and could use evidence, such video clips, screen caps, for the last two bullets. So they currently have it as chill out, or chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. But there's this chance that it's chilling out, max, and relaxing, all cool. It just doesn't have, but the problem with the second one, max and, is that it doesn't have that great rhythm, that sort of that internal rhyme. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some booty ball outside the school.
Yeah.
When a couple of guys, they were up to no good.
Anyway, hey.
Started. Okay, what's the words we're trying to work on here?
But I do think an organization dedicated to discovering absolute cool, you know, and absolute
relaxation.
Relax.
I mean, yeah, it'd be good to have.
Like, you know, it's the absolute zero, you know, of chilling it, of putting your feet up. And
if there was an experiment, like if you could be like 20 people in a house and then you're put through different experimental scenarios to see how you could relax the most. Everybody's wireless. Well,
it feels like whenever they're doing this kind of thing, they're doing a sleep study or something like that. Or they're doing a medical research on some sort of drug, but I'm not talking about drugs, man. I'm just talking about getting the vibes just right.
Yeah,
you know, with the right tunes and the right bunch of dudes to just let it all hang out.
I mean, competitive relaxing as well.
That feels like something we've talked about on the show before as well.
Yeah, a little bit, but like the idea that somebody, like his relaxing, you know, his fluctuations in his brain relaxing were off the scale, but then it turns out he used an illegal hammock. Performance enhancing hammock.
Yep. That's good. It's good. He wasn't taking a load off. The hammock was actually taking most of the load. Nah, it doesn't quite work. Anyway.
All right, I'm ready researching.
He was actually taking performance-reducing drugs, Alistair. And that's the real...
That is it. My gosh. Thank you so much, Poo Poo Bum Bum Man. We appreciate it in a deep way.
Yeah, it's appreciated by us.
You enrich our show with just your appearance. I mean, as all our listeners do. I wish we could do a 200th episode or a 300th episode where it's all just listener suggestions, but we wouldn't have the time when we're rushing through to both do that and finish our life, keep going with our lives. Have any life?
Alistair, you hit me with the list of sketches that we've come up with today. I'd like you to rip through them if you don't mind.
No problem. It was your phone running out of battery. Huh?
No.
A concept album of cowards hiding and seeing their enemies beaten by life. You know, and these are songs of triumph.
That's a sketch.
From cowards.
That is a sketch.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, I think there's a way that we could work in that guy that we had in that sketch who hid in a hole. And while there was a robot revolution, he was just eating rats. If there was somebody in there, if you could add it an element of triumph that, you know, that he beat somebody because he's the one who's still alive. Maybe the robots.
Could be. Would it be performed in whisper rap, Alistair?
We could try it. I mean, I think if I could just get one take done clean, then it would be possible. All right. Well, then we've got Murderer who makes the one mistake of yelling his name and details as he murders. And this is one of the murders solved on the Gimme homicides, where Reginald Gimme, who is, we're not going to say a complete idiot. I mean, he's still a functioning detective.
Yeah.
But not one that you can put on any tough cases. They all have their specialties.
The Kill Shouter, the case of the Kill Shouter. That was that one.
The case
that
of the...
That was a 30-second episode.
Well, no, Andy. Every episode is 45
you're
minutes.
Right.
Like a, you know,
you're right. You're
a TV hour.
Yeah.
Then we've got Newton's Rhyming Publisher Compromises. Right. Then we've got Pope's Scientific Deathbed Observations. And that possibly lead to him curing himself on the deathbed, but he has a full, scientific conversion on his deathbed, which then turns into his life bed.
That there was that bed, they were talking about that bed in like Costa Rica or something that this firm had made. It was a hospital bed, and then it turns into a, so many people are dying because of COVID that it turns into a coffin.
Yeah, it's a great Colombian invention.
That is the deathbed conversion right there, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's such sleek design, just elegant. My God, just the fear you would get just being laid down on one of those beds.
This isn't one of those beds that turns into a coffin, is it?
Oh, fucking hell. I mean, just not okay. Then we've got strategic guesser for companies.
It seems like a pretty macabre thing, but I think that technology could be used very well in a field like cakes. You know, you decorate the cake, you operate on the cake when it's in normal, like sort of bed mode.
Yeah.
And then you pop it into the little cake coffin, the nice little box drops down nicely for delivery.
Well, this is exactly the kind of things that crises like this, why they lead to such innovation. Because sure, it seems like a macabre kind of awful thing when it's a person being lowered into their death box, cardboard box.
But six months down the track,
once we've got baked goods that we're not getting fingerprints on because we're not having to manhandle them or womanhandle as we pop them into a box. I mean, this is brilliant. Thank you, Andy, for making this possible. I mean, it makes me want to get into cake boxing with you, a kickboxing business.
Oh, no, not Cake Boss. No, that's a different show. This is Cake Box. We just take the cakes from Cake Boss and put them into a box. And this week's Cake Box is an absolute doozy.
It's the same one we were using last week because we've only come up with one design. But the kind of cake we're lowering this time is caramel.
And now, look, I think if we did do the show Cake Box, it would be interesting because we would face the challenge of putting, you know, he's making these complicated cakes. He's making a cake that looks like a T-Rex, right?
Oh, but Trex. So,
what they never show you on the show is somebody's got to make a box for that. And that's the real skill.
Absolutely.
Cake, that's Cake Box.
And what that T-Rex doesn't realize is that that box is also its coffin.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the box that the cake comes in, you know, in that is its coffin. I mean, and we're humans are the worms coming to eat its corpse.
Crawling into the box.
Yeah.
Writhing through the cake. Oh, I mean, you can't tell me that this wouldn't be a challenge for Cake Boss, right? Make a corpse cake that is proportionally as much bigger than a man as a man is bigger than a worm. And I want to be able to writhe through it, eating as I go.
Yeah.
Eat my way through its innards and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I want me and roughly, I don't know, 600,000 other people. I want us to be able to just charge at it. Slowly and work our way through the box. Around. And then get into that cake. And then eat it until it is gone.
All right.
That's great. Then there's more sketch ideas, Andy. Then we've got the strategic guessers for companies. Obviously, the strategic guesser. Then we've got Schwarzenegger and DeVito play one man. That's not really a sketch. But the idea, you know, it's no longer playing alongside each other, playing on top. Maybe there's a super glue accident while... You know, DeVito's on his pants or whatever, and then Arnie has to lift him up to change a light bulb or something. and they're both nude, so that's why their skin is fused together. And they...
Yeah, that works amazingly well.
Yeah?
I can't believe, Warren Beatty would be 100% on board by this point. The amount of detail.
They work in the lab. That's right. They did Junior together. Could be the sequel. Archaeologists discover prehistoric balloon animals. These are also in which balloon animals are the only form of writing, you know, balloons. Then we have neoliberal glory hole. I just wrote down Sebastian's words, but you get it. And then we've got researching chilling / competitive relaxing including performance enhancing hammocks.
Like we did it, Al.
I think we did it, Andy. I think there's, you know, look, I don't always say this, you know, almost very rarely, but I think there's some iconic sketches in there.
Oh, no, Al. No. Can't possibly be. We started out so bad.
no, that concept album, that's great.
Yeah,
bad sketch ideas is I think you mean those are the ones that are Al-driven.
No, I felt like I was really close to saying let's start again in the middle of, you know, about 10 minutes in. But
Andy, it's one of the funnest episodes I've had in ages.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Grain, eat your grain. Eat your grain inside your grain. Don't let grain run your grain. Run your grain vein. You got
Thanks
grain
so
in
much
your
for
vein.
Listening
grain
to
in
it
your
the
vein.
Tank.
Your veins.
We absolutely appreciate it to the max.
We can't understand. Yeah, we can't understand why you're all here, but we love it. Thank you very much. There's a slight delay on Magma, so apologies for that. It'll probably still be another month. It's my fault.
But you'll be the first to know.
You'll be the first. Absolutely. Except for we won't even tell our wives.
That's my guarantee to you. Yeah, I will not tell Alistair's wife.
That's right. And I promise to never speak to Andy's family. His family have completely pushed me out of their lives, and me and Andy have to meet in secret now. And so that's why I won't also be, but I would tell her. I would tell them and her if I could.
If he could, but he can't.
If they would speak with me. I'm on Twitter, and Two in Tank, and that's us. And then I'm also at Alistair TV.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy. You can support us on Patreon. You can review us on iTunes. And
we
probably other things. Love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.